Earlier we talked about how ICE detention centers operate. Elected leaders, state officials actually have to make an appointment to visit these facilities, usually 24 to 72 hours in advance, depending on who you are. As we've seen, if even the governor of New Jersey shows up, she's refused immediate access. So what's the Department of Homeland Security and ICE trying to hide? Or maybe the more accurate question is, what are they afraid will be seen and discovered? Family members and friends of those being detained say that these ICE detention centers are rampant with abuse, violence by ICE officers. We've seen how these poorly trained ICE agents violently lash out in public. Their actions have ranged from pepper spraying and physically assaulting people to actually shooting down Americans in the street. Do you think their behavior is any better in the darkness that they so eagerly want to protect? Jesus tells us exactly who these people are in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. I've heard people, maybe you too, ranging from those in the White House to social media, claim that ICE is doing God's work. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 tears down that idea. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In fact, it's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, which gives us the truth. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. For all who are participating in and supporting what's being perpetrated by ICE at detention centers, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 has a warning. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. As we've also seen, a growing number of people are not watching all this unfold, only to sit alone feeling sorry for the victims of this violent treatment. They're bringing forward a light to reveal what the federal government wants to keep hiding in the darkness. Their desire will absolutely fail, by the way, as mandated by what we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We who are God's children and chosen are the light, because he has filled us with his light. This is confirmed by 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And the light of God just isn't a visual. Its source is absolutely spiritual. Paul teaches us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, staying in 2 Corinthians, we are not to consort with those who do wrong, arguing about their actions, and then going to dinner with them, excuses, and even permits their darkness to continue. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14, get an explanation about this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? It's our duty as Christians to confront the darkness with God's light. It's also a duty which Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, verses 41 and 42, teaches how we need to be ready. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, we're made to understand what we're up against as well. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It's God's word that serves as our strength and armor in these times too. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 reminds us this way, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Now, since the light and the darkness cannot in any way coexist, our works need to come with the light, sourced by God's light. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Verse 33 gives us this instruction, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." God's own words call on us to the duty I've been talking about today. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. "If a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt." As you hopefully know in your heart and soul, our duty is not to seek vengeance in times like this. God will handle that at the time and in the way of his choosing. Our direction is given to us in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So when we step forward, we step according to God's will, not ours.